Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode 50 of the Music Ed Matters podcast. We have almost been releasing episodes for a whole year. I mean myself and all the fabulous guests. I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting this podcast and for listening and for really looking at new things that matter in music, whether they're new to you or just an idea that gets you a new idea from there. I'm really thankful that you are listening to this show. I also want to give a huge thank you to every guest that has been willing to come on the show, and a huge thank you to our show sponsor, the Kinnison Choral Company. You have to check out their newest tool that they made just for you. If this podcast is designed to help you feel like you're part of a bigger picture, then the Kinnison Choral Company's calculator and scheduler is designed to help you find more time. You have to go check it out. There's a link in the notes. But thank you, Kinnison Choral Company, for believing in this project and supporting this podcast. In episode 50, we are going to remix episode 1. That's right. We are bringing back Barbara Tagg. We're going to talk about what she would have done differently if she could record all over again. And y'all, spoiler alert, this was her first podcast, and she had only listened to a couple of podcasts ever prior to coming on the show. So that's a really fun little conversation. We then flip the table, and she asked me a bunch of questions. So it's an honor to share this story and this journey with you. Above all, I hope this helps you feel closer to me, your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch. I hope that it gives you ideas for that you too can do hard things. And I just hope that you are smiling, because I am really thankful that you are here. Here we go into episode 50 of the Music Ed Matters podcast. Today, on the Music Ed Matters podcast, you are about to hear episode 50. And I'm calling this one episode 1 remixed, because we are welcoming Barbara Tagg. Hello!
Hi, Emmy. It's so nice to see you.
It's so good to see you again. I can't believe we get to remix episode 1.
I can't believe we're at episode 50.
I can't either. It's amazing.
You have done so much, and I just am in awe of what you, the material that you have covered since we did this last April. It's been 10 months.
Oh my goodness. And it's flown by.
Yeah. It's, you know, at times it seemed like it was moving at a snail's pace, and other times it seems like it was just yesterday when we were doing what we usually did. And then, you know, COVID hit and life changed, and here we are 10 months later, and wow.
Well, thank you so much for being willing to come back on the show. If you haven't listened to episode 1, go back and listen. You'll get a taste of how far I've come in my audio engineering skills, but you'll also get to know Barbara Tagg and her amazing book and her awesome personality. That's just a great episode for ideas to listen to. But can we just mention that you had never listened to a podcast, nonetheless been interviewed on a podcast prior to that?
Yep, I had listened to a couple, you know, but it was a long time ago. And so this really drew me into that wealth of material on podcasts, of which there just is. And so it's been a learning experience. You're never too old to learn new things. And it's just amazing what you're accomplishing and contributing to the field.
Well, thank you. I can't believe you've listened to almost every episode. That also is very, thank you for listening.
It was really fun. And I had moments where I was incredibly moved. I was in tears. I was laughing. It was great to listen to them as I was walking, you know, a lot of good outdoor walk time during COVID. And it was a great way to spend a 3-mile walk many days.
Oh, well, thank you so much. All right, let's start with my first question for you. If we could go back 10 months and redo episode 1, what would you do differently or add or say? What would you redo episode 1 as?
Yeah, I think I think in the beginning we were all pretty reflective because it all happened so quickly. We went from doing what we did to suddenly not being able to leave our homes, not being able to go out. And when the whole pandemic hit, I think it changed our lives. And at that point, it had been a month. And I was very reflective about the incredible career, the incredible people in my life, and colleagues and mentors and teachers and children and college students and all the people that made life tick all along the way. And I think as I went back actually yesterday and re-listened to it because I thought, oh my gosh, I don't even remember what we said or what we talked about. And I knew you were going to be asking me that. And I thought, you know, I think it's more about where we go from here, the extraordinary opportunities that we have. You know, my dad always had the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think this has been a real opportunity for us to get going and figure it all out. You know, it hasn't been easy. People have struggled, teachers have struggled. What do we do? How do I teach online? I can't be with my children. We're choirs. We can't sing. How are we going to sing? And I think it's been extraordinary in what people have accomplished, how they have pivoted to a new way of being. And I think that there's a real optimism moving forward as we get a vaccine that's prevalent, as teachers can resume their school teaching, be it hybrid or in person with protocols in place. And I think it's just an opportunity for us to also to reflect and think about what we had, what we really value when we stop, when we're forced to stop running the race and doing what we do in a normal routine, and suddenly reflect and think about what really is valuable to us and what are the important things in life. What have we learned during this extraordinary historic time period? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are changing and have changed, and new things to learn and be aware of and be sensitive to moving forward. You know, so I think there's a real sense of optimism and hope for the future, that we'll come out of this and be stronger and better.
Yes. Oh, I love this. This is beautiful. What a perfect start to episode 50.
Well, you know, and even just thinking of the technology, when we started 10 months ago, who had ever heard of Zoom? That was something new in all our vocabularies. Zoom, you know, and now we think about Zoom or on Zoom every day. Mm-hmm. And it's just a new way of being. The podcasts, the Zooms, the conferences online, the technology like the keyboards, the microphones, the speakers. When I think of where we started with your first episode and where you are now, think what technology has done. As I listened to all of them, it just kept getting better and better. The sound kept getting better. And we've learned about all kinds of things that as music educators, we haven't necessarily had to know in the past.
Very much so.
So, you know,
I do have to say that a lot of my audio engineering came from your son, Jamie. And I had no idea when I asked you to be episode one, I had no idea that your son was an audio engineering mastermind in Indiana. And so that was such a blessing. He sat down, gave me an hour of his time, did a microphone tutorial. What do all the buttons mean? What type of microphone do I need? What are all the different digital audio workstations I could use? And what am I looking for in there? He gave me a couple textbook recommendations to read. And then he said, just go play with it and see what happens. It'll get better. He was so cool. And I would have never even known where to get started had he not given his time so freely.
That's fun. I love that he was able to help you. He's an associate professor at IU, and proud mom moment, you know, and I was so happy to be able to put the two of you together. And I told him after we had chatted about that you had found it really helpful. And he goes, Mom, that's what I do.
Of course. Like, to him, it's no big deal. And I took so many pages of notes that they are just, the edges are ruffled because I took so many notes and I've referenced it so much over the time of learning how it all works. And of course, there's still episodes where there's glitches and issues, but I'm learning what to look for. And like you said a moment ago, who would have thought with a couple degrees in music, a few degrees in music, I'd eventually learn all these things?
Yeah. it's, you know, it's just an extraordinary time. And he was thrilled to be able to help, and certainly evidenced in your podcast. You've really done well with the technology, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. I do think that's something I look forward to moving out of this time of virtual singing, virtual choiring. I do sincerely look forward to seeing how all this new media and digital audio skills will play out in rehearsals, in concerts, in the choir experience as a whole. Definitely one of my favorite things of this time, if we're looking for the positives.
Absolutely. One of the technological bonuses to all of this sequestering is that people have been able to and will be able to attend Chorus America and ACDA. They both are making sessions after the conference so that you can go to them when it's convenient and you can work it into your schedule. And I think that is just such a bonus to allow people that perhaps have never been to a conference before to be able to attend the conference at their leisure, mm-hmm. following their own schedule, and yet get the extraordinary sessions that Chorus America offered and ACDA will be offering. So I just want to mention that because it's really important for people to know that they can do that.
I think that's great.
I just think it's such a service to the profession, mm-hmm. and so because people are hungry for ideas and how to proceed in the future. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I think you're going to ask me some questions now, which is a little bit scary on my end because normally I do all the question asking, but I think you're about to ask me some questions.
I totally am. I'm so excited to get to do this. So I have four. The first one is, why did you ever start the podcast, and has the purpose changed in the course of 50 episodes?
That is a great question. The idea for the podcast came while traveling back from ACDA Southern Region in March. It was right as everything was shutting down, and we were all kind of, what's going to happen? And I got home for a week after I rested. I was like, okay, what am I actually going to do with this time? This is unknown time. And I'd always wanted to start a podcast. My husband and I talked about me asking him if I could start a podcast in the middle of my doctorate because I was just really excited about podcasting. He's like, just wait. There'll be a time. Wait. So it was always in the back of my mind to start one, but I really wanted to, A, connect all these amazing friends and colleagues that I had to the students that I'm teaching at the university, and B, continue learning. Because once you get the doctorate, you can't stop learning, but there's no more degrees to get. So I selfishly wanted to keep learning. So I started it to get my students an opportunity to meet some fabulous people. And to keep learning myself. And then as we got into the pandemic, it really fed my extroverted soul. I realized that the weeks that I was the most lacking in creativity were the weeks I didn't have anyone to talk to on the podcast. They were weeks that I'd already recorded an episode or something. So it filled my extroverted, I need friends cup. So I started it for those three reasons, ended up keeping it for me. But if I look back at what the little blurb says in Apple Podcasts, not much has changed. It's still designed for your walk or your commute, or whether your commute's from the sofa to your desk or from the sofa to your car. It's still kind of designed for you to think about. And we've gotten some great listener comments about how it's what they put on their way to school as their only opportunity for PD, just to get their juices flowing before they get into the building and thinking. So knowing that little blurb hasn't really changed in 50 episodes, I'm excited that I feel like we still have a mission and we still have a vision, we being me and all the guests. So that's why I started. I don't think it's really changed, but it's highlighted some things.
I'm really glad that you started this. I think so often, and I'm thinking back to the very beginning of my career out of graduate school when I taught elementary. And in some districts, you're very isolated. You're in your own building. You don't have district meetings. I was in a district where we had them monthly. But many educators are in places where they are isolated. And to allow you to have dialogue with fellow colleagues who do the same thing you do and have fresh ideas is so important. And you've hit on so many different topics. Just the broad spectrum of what are the current, you know, things that people want to know about. So I'm really glad that you held off till the pandemic and then went for it because it's
Thank you.
Terrific. Okay, second question. How did you decide to do this, and what have you learned from the experience?
Oh, goodness. So much. I've learned so much. So the initial decision to do it, like actually talking about having a podcast, was not challenging. What was challenging was actually doing it. Getting up the guts to ask you to be the first guest. Getting up the nerve to put it out there. And one friend, I was talking to a friend trying to brainstorm what we would call the podcast. And one friend said, just do it. Just put a name out there. If you have to change it, change it. Just put an episode out there. If it's awful, take it down and do it again. What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is that you just don't do it. And that's kind of become a little bit of a mantra as I've moved forward. Why not just do it now? Don't wait till tomorrow. Just do it. What's the worst thing that could happen? You fall on your face. Well, guess what? Falling on your face is still falling forward. So that was a big learning curve, getting over the fear and the vulnerability. Brené Brown writes about vulnerability so well, especially in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and how hard it is to be vulnerable. But once it was out there and I realized that it was filling my cup, it doesn't matter as much the vulnerability, because if you just don't like it, then skip to the next episode or don't listen. Yeah. I think that was a big learning curve.
I think that's really important, because so often fear will stop us from doing something. Mm-hmm. And I look back on, you know, my career, and there were times when there was someone there to push and say, oh, you can do this, go for it. You can do this. And having the courage to say, okay, I'm going to give it a try and do it. So you're absolutely right. Well,
thank you. It's why at the end of every episode, I say, you matter, music matters, and I'll see you next time on Music Matters Podcast. That's the whole reason I say that, because if you say it enough times, maybe you'll believe it. If someone says it to you enough times, I sincerely believe every single person that listens to this podcast, or doesn't, anyone who's teaching music, that we really matter in the lives of our young people, in the lives of our adults, in the lives of our community, with people who aren't even in our ensembles or our music classrooms. And so that's been enlightening. I've also learned from this experience how to articulate in an email to a total stranger what the podcast is, how much I would like to be on the show with them, and what the next steps are. So really getting clear with my directions to total strangers. That was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, you have a gift, clearly. And you spoke about ending your podcast with the same phrase. And it always put a smile on my face. You know, it was such an upbeat, positive way to end. And it just so captures the energy and the essence of the spirit of the podcast all the way through. You take on hard questions and hard topics. And yet, you know, it's all about our learning and growing together in these challenging times. And it always ends with, yeah, you know, everything you do matters. Your students matter, making music matters, singing matters. Mm-hmm. And look at the way our profession has found a way to sing in spite of all of the challenges. It mm-hmm. hasn't stopped anybody. We have choirs everywhere, and people are more determined than ever to sing. So
I love that. Thank you so much.
Okay, so what do you enjoy most about podcasting?
This right here, this conversation, these moments. I have never been so present in a moment. You have to be thinking. I don't take notes while I'm talking to a guest, because I force myself to focus on them and this moment. So I have so many flashbulb memories of these conversations because I can't get distracted. And it becomes something that no one can take away from me. These moments are so special. So this is my favorite part, the talking to the guest. That's why I don't really like it when I'm by myself. I do like to share the knowledge. I feel like I went to school and I have a lot of great teaching experience to share. I love the little doctor in episodes, but I much prefer talking to someone else. So I enjoy that most. I also enjoy having a group of people on the Patreon page that we meet up once a month. And I really enjoy seeing immediately how this is, like you said before, feeding them. For those that do and don't have a support system around them, and to have that pulse immediately, that's been really beautiful. And I love that group of people.
That's great. Well, your passion for what you're doing shows in all that you do. And as I said, I'm thankful for the field that this is available, because I think it has can have tremendous impact. So thank you.
I do know one of my life missions, my family is all very energetic people. It's this is not made up. This is just what genetically was given to me. My grandparents are in their 80s and they still bounce off the walls and talk all the time. So this is very much genetic. So I feel like God gave me extra energy so I could give it away. And I'm able to do that at conferences or at guest clinician experiences and other gigs or different professional development things. But I couldn't find a way that I was consistently sharing energy and helping to boost people who might be in a dark spot or might need a little adrenaline shot. And this has given me a place where I can put that excess energy. Dr. Bowers always said that I had bubbles everywhere and I had to find a way to focus them and they would be very productive. So this has given me a place to focus those energetic bubbles that I don't need in excess and hopefully share them out to the world, because that is a big, I think that's why I have extra energy. God wanted me to share it with you.
You know, I think of Andrew Ramsey, who was one of the last podcast that I'd listened to, talking about Grow Little Tree, the song she wrote that nobody wanted to publish, but ultimately did get published. And we all love it, because sometimes the simplest things can be so profound and so beautiful. And talking about planting the little seed of a tree, you know, and watching it grow, and the older trees sheltering and caring for the younger. And actually, I'm going to use it as the theme song for my Adirondack Children's Chorus.
Yes.
Postponed until 2022 because of COVID, but we will get to start this choir. But I think it, you know, those seeds that you're planting, and you never know where they are. You know, you never know what an idea will, where it will go and how it will bloom. But the idea of planting a tree and watching it grow and blossom, I think that's so much of what you're doing, planting seeds and ideas with people that will take them and adapt them for their own situation, make them and ultimately touch the hearts of others through song and their teaching.
That's exactly it. I love that analogy. Can't wait to see all the little Music Matters trees all over the world.
Love it. So you've done 50 now, almost. And where do you see the next 50 going?
Well, I'm definitely not stopping anytime soon. That's for sure. This is much too fun. I am really thankful for a show sponsor. Somewhere in the 20s, we got a show sponsor, the Kennison Choral Company, and they support us monthly, which is a huge help for storage fees. It costs money to store podcasts on different platforms and just different fees associated with equipment or guest gifts. I give every guest a little gift and a note because they matter to me as well. So it's been great to have the Kennison Choral Company behind us. We have really big plans moving forward. I can't tell you yet because they're still a little bit secret, but they'll be revealed at the Music Ed Matters Teacher PD Week. We had our first one last year in August, and we're hoping that we can have one that's in person and virtual, so that you can come to beautiful Savannah, Georgia, which is my backdrop in almost all of my pictures. But we'll announce it there. But we are working on some projects to really take their mission as an organization and my mission as a podcast and kind of merge them together, just to get more resources and more support and more opportunities for our teachers to feel like they can accomplish all of those things on their teacher to-do list. So I'm really thankful for Kennison and what's coming down the road, down the pipes with them. We have a new bonus series sponsor, the True Change Alliance. This is a coalition out of the Jacksonville, Florida area. And the team at TCA sponsors a once a month DARE series, where you're daring to make a difference. You're daring to challenge the fact that change has to happen consistently, and it's challenging, and it has to be sincere. Their four pillars are beautiful on their website, but I have been really enjoying the guests that they have introduced me to for their special series. I think we've already recorded 4 or 5 months worth of their special bonus series, but it just reminds me every time we do one that this space is such a sacred space for the guests to share their thoughts, their experience, their research, their heart. And it's an honor to be able to create the space where those conversations can happen. So where do I see the podcast going? We're going to keep on trucking. We have interviews, teaching tips, repertoire explorations, doctors are in, new TCA bonus series, always bonus episodes because I can't help but get excited sometimes. And so I have to publish two in 1 week. But that's just life.
You're going to be a very busy lady, but it all sounds terrific. And I know people are going to be looking forward to all of the work that you're doing and all of the things that they will learn.
It's amazing how when you find where your niche is, speaking of the Andrea Ramsey episode, I believe that was episode 45, she talks about how we can be on a track and we can just keep throwing trains behind us on that track, keep throwing carts behind us on the track. And eventually you have to decide, are you going to keep adding to your train? Are you going to stay on that same track? What do you need to do? And I feel like when we started 2020, I kind of knew where my track was going. And when the pandemic hit, I didn't know which way my track was going to go. And having this space, I feel like I can see the track going out before me. And I feel like the cars that I have behind me are the exact ones I need. I don't need any extra speed. It's the perfect balance. And it doesn't feel like work when it is just so much fun the whole time.
I think being a choral musician in our profession, you know, we talk about our jobs or our work. I don't think it's a job or work. I think it's a way of being in the world. And I think that when we're choral musicians, we need people to do our art. We're used to being with people, together with people. We need a whole village to put on a choral concert. Yes. And I totally get, you know, your love of being eye to eye with people while you're recording the podcast and that connection, that personal connection. Mm-hmm. I have a quote that I want to share with you to end with. When my choir in 1998 was in China touring for 3 weeks with a Finnish choir and a choir from Israel, we learned a lot about the culture and the music and the food and the extraordinary performances that we gave and were exposed to all over China when we toured. And the Chinese symbol for crisis is also the symbol for opportunity. And I think that out of a crisis such as a pandemic, it's really an opportunity to dig deep and to be the best that we can be moving forward and find strength and find people to support us and share with and nurture us and pull together to create a new future, as we will have to do, you know, once we're on the other side of the pandemic and life returns to whatever the new version of it will be. But I think I want to share a quote with you. Alice Parker this year came out with a gem of a book. It's just this tiny little book with some wonderful writing. And I was asked to help prepare a letter for the Florida ACDA chapter back in October. And it was funny. I was really nervous about helping to write this letter. And I went to bed one night. I got up the next morning. I sat at my computer and wrote it. It was probably one of the easiest things I've ever written. I didn't even edit it, which is unbelievable because usually I edit everything I write 9 million times, including my book. When I was asked to think about helping compose this letter, I went to her book, which I'd read a few weeks before, and I thought, she at 90 plus, she's now 95, actually 94, I think, when she wrote the book, has a way of talking about music and a life in music, working with Robert Schon. I mean, we know Alice Parker, she's a living legend and so dear and so sweet. But this is what she said. The principal aim is to find through song a way to connect everyone in the room. We are not only teaching music, we are practicing community. Mm. We are awakening people out of their isolation into a wider world of heart and spirit. The odd corollary is that the better we sing, the richer our communion. The more we perfect our art, the more it unites us. And this union, I believe, is why we are given ears and voices. Like the birds, we sing to affirm our place in the great circle of life. And I added to that, in these challenging days, we all need patience, wisdom, grit, and grace. Stay well, be safe, and remember what led you to the choral art. It is a lifetime of commitment and collaboration that is at the core of what it means to be human. And we will get to sing and rejoice together again. Oh,
that is perfect. That is the perfect way to end this episode. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. My pleasure, my honor to be a part of this.
What was your favorite quote from today? Or what's been your favorite episode so far? I'm dying to hear from you. EmilyBirch.org/contact. Find me on Instagram, Dr. Emmy B. Send me a message. Send me an email. I just want to hear, what are you taking away from either this episode as your favorite quote? Or what's your favorite of the 50 episodes so far? And then I want you to know that whatever you're excited about doing, whether you're scared about it or nervous about what could happen or just unsure what to do, this is your pat on the back, your cheerleader saying, do it. You can do it. Do it right now. What's the worst thing that could happen? I have a really great quote for you. You will never be too much for someone who can't get enough of you. My friend, I can't get enough of you. And I can't thank you enough for listening to this podcast. Episode 50, done and dusted. Moving on to the next 50 and beyond. I'm so glad that you're a part of this journey. And in case you haven't gotten the memo this far, you matter. We all know that music matters. And I'll see you next time on the Music Ed Matters podcast.